Amen. Well, the Lord put a message on my heart this morning, and it's titled Open Heavens. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for this message. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this message. I thank you, Lord, that it will enter into our hearts and get down where we live, and that we will, that it'll be revelation to us, that we can grab it and run with it. And we just thank you for your word and the power and anointing of your word. Amen. We're going to start with Genesis 28. We're going to read 10 through 17. And Lucy, unless I tell you different, all of the scriptures are going to be in the New King James Version. And so going to Genesis 28, verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on earth, and its top reached to heaven. There were angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Is it possible for God to be right here? Right around us and not know it. That is a possibility that happens. Verse 17. And Jacob, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? Anywhere where we meet God and hear his voice is an awesome place. Amen. He said, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. We're going to talk first about the house of God, and then we're going to go into the gate of heaven. We often think of like the church building as the house of God. Sometimes people say, I'm going to the house of God. This is the house. But you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is the house of God. Corporately, we are the house of God. And this happens to be the meeting that we gather together, the building that we gather together in. But we are the ones that are the house of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When he said this is the house of God, there was no building. There was no organization. It was just Jacob and God communicating. And there was messages going from earth to heaven. Hallelujah. And that was the house of God. Hallelujah. We're going to read a few scriptures about the house of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't you know? Hallelujah, that we are the temple of God. And then on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. And it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if God lives within me, I need to take care of this body. Hallelujah, because it's where God lives. You know, it's precious to God, so it should be precious to us, and we should care for our bodies and treat them right. Amen. Let's go on to Ephesians 2:21-22. Ephesians 2:21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a body, a holy temple. Read that wrong. In a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We as individuals are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. But he said that he's building us up together. Hallelujah. And while there's a certain amount of anointing on the individual temple, there's a corporate anointing on the body that's more powerful. We grow together. You know, we're each individual parts, but we're growing together as a temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. And there is anointing as we are being fit together. Hallelujah. You know, somebody that's kind of separated themselves from the body of Christ, it's like their growth is stunted. You know, we receive from one another, and we were designed to be a body. The Lord also compares us to a body, and you know, your foot can't do much without the rest of your body. And what's a body without a head? You know, it's like, you know, the body is made to function together, and we're being built together. Hallelujah. God's house is mobile. You know, God chose to live within us. And so God's house is mobile. Everywhere we go, we carry the presence of the Lord with us. Hallelujah. He's with us all the time. And we need to be very aware of the presence of the Lord in us. And it's important also to take time to tune into the Spirit and just recognize him. Like if you're getting ready to go into Walmart or go to work, just before you go in, just pause and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You know, come go with me today. And then be aware of God's presence within you and upon you, because he wants to bless other people through you. And so we need to come to an awareness that, yes, he is in us. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people for a specific season or task or something that God wanted to do. But God, his presence couldn't continually dwell with his people because of the sin issue. God couldn't live there. He would visit his people. You know, he would go out and in, but he didn't continually dwell with them because of the sin. He couldn't be there. And so we're going to look at Isaiah 64:1. And the prophet was crying out to God because God's presence wasn't always with them. You know, their hearts longed for the presence of the Lord. And this is how Isaiah said it. He said, oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. So when they didn't have the abiding presence of the Lord, they longed for it. They cried out for it. Tear open the heavens, God. Tear open the heavens. Come down. Because we were designed to have God's presence, and we need God's presence. To rend the heavens is almost a violent act. It's tearing it apart. Hallelujah. So that what was contained behind the veil or in heaven was now released into the earth. And this is exactly what happened at Jesus' baptism. We're going to look at Mark 1:9-10. And this scripture is in the English Standard Version, ESV. At Jesus' baptism, Jesus was without sin. And so finally, there came someone that was worthy to host the presence of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit could come to and receive the presence of the Lord, because Jesus was without sin. Okay, Mark 1:9-10. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Hallelujah. The heavens, when he was baptized, the heavens were torn open and the Spirit came. Hallelujah. Anyone that has the Spirit of the Lord has an open heaven. Hallelujah. It happened when Jesus came. Hallelujah. Then Jesus was fit because he had no sin. He was fit. He could contain the presence of the Lord. And he ministered under an open heaven. And because he dwells within us and he paid the price for our sin, hallelujah, we can live under an open heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the time of Moses' tabernacle, the presence of the Lord did abide in the Holy of Holies when they built the tabernacle. And the presence of the Lord abided in the where it's in the Holy of Holies. But man couldn't go in it. Only the high priest could go in one time a year after a time of cleansing. And if he went into the Holy of Holies with sin on him, he would immediately fall dead. And so Jewish tradition says that before he went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his ankle so that if he fell dead in the presence of God, they could pull him out because they couldn't go get him. It would just be keep falling dead. And so... You know, the presence of the Lord is an awesome place, but the most amazing thing happened when Jesus died on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, thus opening the way for us to come continually into the presence of the Lord. That is good, good, good news. Hallelujah. We're going to read Hebrews 9:12. New King James again. And it said, it's talking about Jesus, and it said, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Jesus paved the way so that we can continually come into the presence of the Lord. And he paid the ultimate price with his life. He paid the ultimate sacrifice once and for all that we are covered with the blood of Jesus and we can boldly come in to the presence of God and the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah. That's good news. Now we're going to get into talking about the gate of heaven. Jesus was and is the only gateway to heaven. We're going to John. I'll just quote this. You know these next two real well. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and in and find pasture. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So Jesus is our gate. He's the gate of to heaven, to an open heaven. When Jesus comes and dwells within us, we also become the gate of heaven because we become the open door that where heaven can touch other people. Hallelujah. And we need to transform our minds to realize that now Jesus, the powerful, the same yesterday and today and forever, he lives in me. He lives in me. His Spirit abides in me. His Holy Spirit is there. Hallelujah. And he is there. But sometimes we have to reprogram our mind to be aware that he is there and that the power that comes with it. We're going to read Ephesians 1:18-19. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You know, his power is released to us that believe. And it's not according to our abilities or what we have done to gain it. It's according to his power. Hallelujah. And he's just pouring out his nature into us. talking about the gate again. A gate is a place of transaction or access. To go onto our property, we go through a gate. You know, when we enter that gate, we're on our property. Hallelujah. So a gate is a place of transition and access. John 19:10 says, I am the door. If anyone comes by me, it's Jesus talking, he shall be saved and will go out and find pasture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we talk about the church being the gate of heaven, we are referring to the place where the reality of God's kingdom becomes available to all men. We are God's ambassadors on this earth. Hallelujah. Jesus is the head, but we are his bodies, and we are his ambassadors that are to bring people life, bring them healing. Hallelujah. Bring them deliverance. That's our job. Hallelujah. Jesus in Matthew 6:10 told us to pray that thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's the gospel in a nutshell, that what happens in heaven happens on earth. Hallelujah, because there's an open door now for the realities and the blessings of heaven to come to earth. Hallelujah, that's what the gospel's all about, is bringing the power and glory to heaven to earth. Hallelujah, Matthew 16:19 tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We're not on the defensive, we're on the offense. We are opening the gates and releasing the increase of heaven's power on earth. That's what happens every time someone's born again. Every time someone's set free from the oppression of demons. Hallelujah. That's heaven invading earth. Every time someone's body's healed, that's the will of heaven being done on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? No. So it's God's will that there not be sickness in earth. Hallelujah. And then he's made us his ambassadors to bring the will of heaven to the people on earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we ask, what is God's will for my life? We're going to go. Let's look at Matthew 10:7-8. And we're going to read, what is God's will for my life? It says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Hallelujah. Jesus, what did he do? He preached and he did miracles and he healed the sick and he preached, and that's God's will for us. No matter where we go or what we do, our main purpose in life is to preach the word and show the power of the kingdom to the people that we meet. That is God's will for us. That's what we are designed to do as his children. This is normal Christianity in action. Hallelujah. Our minds need to be transformed to embrace what is ours in Christ. And we need to elevate our perspective to embrace what Jesus told us to do. And when we get a hold of that, then everything will flow from that. That's why I'm here, is to talk about the love of God and the word of God and show the power of the kingdom of God in action. That's my purpose. Hallelujah. We are not just to be people who put the will of God. We are not to be people who just believe correct things about God. We're to show the world what God looks like, who he is. Hallelujah. When a miracle, when someone receives healing or deliverance from oppression, or receives a touch from God, it doesn't only affect Like if their body was healed, it doesn't only affect their body. It gives them a picture on the inside of what God looks like. They said, wow, this is God. He's powerful. He's bigger than my circumstances. He's bigger than, you know, he can do what no man can do. That's a picture of my God. Romans 12:2. Let's go to that scripture. It says, and being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The mind and how we think are vital keys to walking a supernatural lifestyle. Our mind is not our enemy, it's the unrenewed mind that's our enemy. When we're thinking wrong and thinking worldly, then that's our enemy. But when we renew our mind to the Word of God and His plan and His purpose, that is not an enemy, but it's a help to us. When operating in agreement with God, the mind is a powerful asset, enabling us to think from heaven's perspective. Operating in agreement with God requires revelation from God. And revelation is the process through which our thinking is changed, where we're actually thinking the way that God thinks. God wants us to think the way He thinks. Hallelujah. And there's a process, because we've been down here thinking on a worldly level, and we need to get in the Word and begin to think the way that God thinks. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to read 9 through 12. Okay, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And a lot of people stop right there. Well, we can't know anything about God. You know, but verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We can only see spiritual things through seeing in the Spirit. We have to have that connection. It's through the Spirit that we receive. Think about it right now. If I had the right satellite dish, there's movies going on all around me in the cyberspace, isn't there? If I had the right receiver, I could choose any number of movies to watch right now. It's right here. It's right here. What about the telephone? All the telephone lines, the internet. How many, many, many things are in the cyber world? You know, and they're right here in the air around us, and all we need is the right receiver to pick them up. Well, God is omnipresent, and heaven is right here, and God is right here, but you have to have the right receiver to tune in to what He's saying. And we cannot receive it by trying, by our intellect, by our struggling, you know, by trying to figure out God. That's not where we tune in. The only way that we can tune in to the frequency of heaven is through the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so you need to have a pray, you know, when we worship God, when we worship Him and glorify Him, we get into the Spirit. We begin to look at Him. Our eyes leave the things of the earth, and we begin to look at how wonderful and awesome our God is. Hallelujah. We begin to praise Him. And as we begin to worship Him and praise Him and get in the Spirit, hallelujah, our receivers open, where we can hear from God, where we can hear what He's saying. Hallelujah. It's important to get in the Spirit, because the Spirit is the receiver for the frequency of heaven, for the presence of the Lord, to hear His voice. Hallelujah. We need to be in the right frequency. We need to have the right receiver, which is the Spirit of the living God, because God is all around us. Heaven is all around us. It's right here. God is omnipresent. But we can't access Him through our own efforts or through our own intelligence. We access that frequency of heaven in the Spirit. A while back, the Lord gave us a word and said, spend time, get lost in the Spirit, and I'll show you the way. So when we get lost in the presence and the Spirit of the Lord, God can begin to show us His plan and His purpose and His path. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read three keys to recognizing and receiving revelation. When you receive revelation, it will have a freshness to it. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you maybe have read a scripture over and over and over again, but all of a sudden it comes to life? It's revelation. It comes to life. Or you may be listening to a message and all of a sudden, you know, a light comes on inside of you. Wow, I never saw that before. You know, and God likes to bring things to us. It's His revelation that brings the Word alive, that brings His thoughts alive to us. And number two key, revelation always sounds better than anything we could come up with on our own. We're real limited. Number three, revelation releases supernatural invasions of peace into the midst of calamity or confusion or trouble or heartache. It's like revelation just will bring the peace of God into this situation. Have you ever been going through something really, really hard and someone had a word of God for you and it just clicked and it just brought peace to your heart? You just says, okay, it's all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Or the same way when you're reading a scripture, all of a sudden God brings it to life to you. Hallelujah. And you say, yeah. Yes, and it brings peace into your heart. In Psalms 23, the psalmist David says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, a table speaks of a place of refreshment, of receiving food, a banquet, and it's a place of peace and rest where we sit down to eat. And here David was with enemies all around him, and God gave him peace right in the middle of that bad situation that he was in. He prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. It's important to be in contact with God, to hear his heart, because this is a detour, but I just feel like I'm supposed to say it. Remember when the disciples were in the stormy sea and they thought they were going to all drown? And Jesus was asleep. And they were really pretty aggravated at him for sleeping. But had they been able to calm the storm? No. Here Jesus is sleeping in the middle of that storm. And then they woke him up. He just got up and said, peace be still. And the waves quit and the winds quit and it just became still. You can have authority over any storm that you can sleep through. When you have gotten the peace of God, even in the midst of your enemies, even when there's enemies, even when there's storms around you, when you can come to that place of connection with the peace of God, you'll have authority over that storm that's going on around you. That was just for free. Hallelujah. There's two practical ways you can position yourself to receive revelation. First of all, build a solid support upon the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. Get all the Word you can. Read the Word every day. Take the Word. The Word is our support. Hallelujah. It's the foundation pillars that we build our life on. When we build our life on what's already revealed, we position ourselves to receive what God wants to reveal. And it's not that God's adding anything to the Word of God, but He wants to bring it to life to us. He wants to reveal more to us from the Word that will fit our need right now, today, what we're going through, the answer that we need, the word that we need from God, you know, it needs to come to life. And to get that place of where we receive from God what we need at the moment, we need to build our life on the Word. You know, stay full of the Word. Look at the Word. And then as you're having something going on in your life, well, His Word will come to life for what you need right at that moment. And respond through obedience. When God speaks to us something in the Word or something to our hearts, and He lays it on our heart, hey, this is what I want you to do. If the Word convicts you, oh yeah, I need to do that. Your obedience tells God, I'm ready for the next step. When you obey God, you say, okay, God, I'm ready for the next step. But if God spoke to you to do something and you just ignored it and didn't obey, you're going to find yourself in a stagnant place where you're not hearing. And what you need to do if you're in that stagnant place where you're not hearing from God is to go back to the last thing God told you to do and just say, God, repent. Say, God, I'm sorry, I disobeyed you. You put that on my heart and I didn't obey and I'm sorry. You know, maybe God dealt with you to reach out to somebody that you didn't like very well. Or dealt with you to forgive someone and you just wouldn't let it go. You know, go back to where the last time God said something to you and take care of it. Do it. Sometimes it was a thing of the moment where, you know, it's gone. But you need to go back to that place in your heart and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to go on with you. I want to be alive in my life in you. I want to hear your voice again. Let's give me another chance, Lord. And so, but obedience, obeying what God does tell us to do, if it's something we read in the Word or something that He puts on our heart to do. Obedience tells God, I'm ready for the next step. I'm ready to move on. I'm here I am. I'm willing and obedient to you, Lord. Romans 10:17. It says, it's one of the famous faith scriptures, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there in Greek is rhema, or it means the living voice, the living voice. It comes alive to you. We could read it this way, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the living voice of God, the live, fresh voice of God. Hallelujah. So we need to study the scriptures, and as we study the scriptures, we need to be in the Spirit where that living voice, where the Spirit of the Word will come and we will hear it. I think everybody's done this. We've heard certain things in the Word or read them over and over and over and over again, and they're just like repetition, and they don't really get into us. And then there'll come a spot where it's a living word to us, and it'll just wake up, and it'll shine inside of us, and it'll change the way we think, and it'll change the way we live. Hallelujah. When the Word, the living Word, comes alive in us. Hallelujah. The living voice of God in the Word is what brings us revelation. We get it. We get it. Revelation means we get it. I've been reading this over and over and over, but I get it now. That's revelation. It comes alive to us. Hallelujah. So many people read the Word of God like a book, and they'll read about the things that Jesus did, and they'll say, man, that was awesome. Oh, did you see the people He healed and how He multiplied the food and how He did all of this? If it's just a story we're reading, it's not alive to us. if we separate what we're reading as something that happened back then, we're missing the point. Because the Word of God is written to be alive. And when we read the Word of God, we should look at what Jesus did and say, oh, wow, that's who Jesus is. That's who He is. He's a powerful God that has all power. Hallelujah. Power to heal, power to baptize in the Holy Spirit, power to overcome and calm the storms. That's Jesus. And the Word says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Jesus lives in us. The same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that came on Jesus comes on us. The same one. And that's who He is. He's marvelous and mighty and powerful. And there's nothing too hard for Him. Hallelujah. And so the Word we need to read it like it's alive. Like, yeah, this is who He is now. This is who Jesus is right now. This is my Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. If we just look at it as a story of something that happened long ago, it's not going to have the life that it's supposed to have in coming alive in our hearts. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Isaiah 61, and we read 1 through 3. And this was a prophecy of Jesus. but he starts out saying, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. You know, how many have received the Spirit of the Lord? How many are filled with the Spirit? How many have invited Jesus to live in your heart? So the same, there's not two different Holy Spirits. There's just one Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. So we could make this personal to us. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, or God may be glorified. This sounds to me like the prayer in Matthew 6 that we're to pray, Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's some changes that took place when the brokenhearted are healed. They've gotten a touch from heaven. When the captive are set free, they've gotten a touch from heaven. Hallelujah. Yes. When people are in prison of whatever kind, and they're open and they're set free, that's heaven being done on earth. Consoling those that mourn in Zion, trading beauty for ashes. Ashes speak of when you're all burnt out. You know, how many people say, I'm so burnt out. Just so burnt out. And sometimes we can burn out just pushing, you know, just going too hard and working too hard. And, you know, we can burn out. We can burn out spiritually where we're just not in fresh fellowship with the Lord. And God wants to train our ashes for His beauty. Sounds like heaven on earth. The oil or the anointing of joy for mourning. You know, sometimes we have mourning in our heart. We mourn over things that's happened to our family. We mourn over people that we've lost. We mourn over what could have been. Oh, hala. You know, there's things that have grieved us and hurt us. We mourn over our own failures. You know, I blew it and I just did the wrong thing. We mourn. And God wants to, hallelujah, He wants to give us the oil of joy, the anointing of joy for where we have mourned, where we have been brokenhearted. He wants to give us the anointing of joy. He wants to fill us with joy, His joy. That's heaven on earth. Hallelujah. That's heaven invading earth. Hallelujah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many times, you know, when you go to Walmart and walk around Walmart, how many people have a spirit of heaviness on them? God wants to trade that heaviness that's on people for His praise, for His joy. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to bring heaven to earth for what people need. That's what we look like. We look like Jesus. We are His body. We are His feet on this earth. His heart beats in our heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for open heavens. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." It's right in there. Thank you. I saw that I needed that. Hunger for God brings God on the scene. Ho-hum prayers get ho-hum results. But prayers of desperation for God brings God on the scene. Hallelujah. Passionate prayers bring awesome results. Here where in Jeremiah it says, "I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know." The word "mighty" here means mystery. God doesn't hide mysteries from us. He hides mysteries for us. He wants to tell us. Jesus said in Matthew 13:11, He answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not being given." Okay, it's been given to us to know the mysteries of heaven. And how do we get in the frequency of heaven? Through the Spirit. People that don't know Jesus don't have a receiver to receive the mysteries that God wants to show His people. And he doesn't have mysteries to keep them from us. He has them for us. He wants us to know the mysteries of the heaven. Hallelujah. But the only way we can know is through the Spirit. The frequency of the Spirit. Hearing the living voice in the Word. You know, there's scholars. It's just amazing. But there's scholars that spent their whole life studying the Scripture, and they can quote Scripture and they can tell you what every word means and all of this. But some of them that do that don't even know God. They've never had the personal connection of God. And so they don't hear the mysteries of the Word. They see the letter of the Word, but they don't hear the mysteries of the Word. Hallelujah, but He's given them to us because He gave us His Spirit. Hallelujah, He gave us His Spirit. And anyone that has the Spirit of the living God in him is under the open heavens. Uh-huh. Because the heavens are open. Oh, and the Spirits came upon us and it fell upon us. Hallelujah. And we are the open heavens to the world. Hallelujah, the world will only know Jesus through us. By preaching the word and demonstrating the kingdom with signs and wonders following. That's who we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The key to experiencing increase and expansion is the level of our hunger and pursuit. How hungry are we for God? How much do we want God? How much are we listening to Him and tuning into Him? Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's a promise. When we hunger and thirst for God, we will be filled. And we're going to end here in Colossians 3:1-2, and I want you to look at that. It's in the, I'm going to read this one in the New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians 3:1-2, New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Thank you, Calvin. Okay, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. There's all kinds of things happening in the cyberspace around us. And the Spirit of God, heaven's in the right here. And God's right here. The Spirit of the Lord is right here. What are you going to tune into? Would you rather watch a movie or would you rather tune into the Spirit of God? Hear from heaven. Where's our hunger? Where's our desire? Hallelujah. Heaven's right here. Set your affections on heavenly things, on the things of heaven. Set your mind and your heart on heavenly things because it's right here, closer than we can touch, and we receive it by the Spirit. Let's just stand and lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your presence that's with us, your presence that's upon us. Oh, Father, Father, increase our hunger level for you. Increase, Lord, our hunger level for you, that we will put our attention on things, on heavenly things, on you, on your word. Oh, Father, give us a desperation for you, a hunger for you. Oh, we just thank you, Father, that you're right here. We thank you that you have called us, that we're your sons and your daughters. We're your body. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you, Father, for the honor of hosting your presence. We thank you, Father, for the honor of hosting you and hosting your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's an analogy that I just want to bring up that's coming to me. You know, any kind of a lake or pond that has water running in and out of it, it stays fresh. But if it's just doesn't have water running out of it, it gets stagnant and it gets junk growing on it. And to be fresh, to have the fresh move of the Holy Spirit, we need to let it flow in and we need to let it flow out. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit flowing into us and the Holy Spirit flowing out of us and loving God's people in His name. Thank you, Jesus. We are our God's. We are God's ambassadors. We are God's, oh, ambassadors. He left us here to represent Him in the earth. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Father, I thank you right now for an increase of awareness of your presence within us and upon us, that we might know you. If there's anybody that just feels a drawing for prayer, I just believe that there's someone that's, you're just needing to break out. You're needing freshness. You're needing a fresh word from God. You just felt stagnant and stalemated, and God wants to touch you this morning and get you in the flow again. Oh, Lakania.